You're listening to the Packernet Podcast Network.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Third down, inches to go. The Vader, 17 to 14. Cowboys out in front. Starr begins to count. Takes the snap. He's got the quarterback. Take it easy. He's got the snap. The Packers are not in front. The Green Bay Packers are going to be world champions.
Good Sunday afternoon, everybody. My name is Clayton Bailey. Welcome into Packers Total Access. You can check us out on Packernet.com. You can also find us on Twitter at Packers_Access. And on today's show for the history segment, we're actually going to cover the city of Green Bay, the surrounding area of Green Bay, the community, if you will. You know, every time that the Green Bay Packers are mentioned, more times than not, I should say, what's always mentioned is how such a small community, a small town, how in the world could it survive in a huge business like the National Football League? You know, how can they compete with huge markets like the New York Giants? How can they exist? It's just something that, you know, over the course of 100 years, how has there not been another small market team? I mean, outside of the Buffalo Bills, which even with them, they've got a large crowd there in the surrounding area. You know, Green Bay just kind of sits up north there to themselves. But the answer is typically it's the community. There's something about the Green Bay area that's just special, and it has been since the founding of Green Bay. And we're going to go all the way back there, guys. We're going to start back to the very first settlers of the Green Bay area. These are things that you probably didn't know. I know I didn't know until I started to research exactly who helped found the Green Bay area and kind of how did everything unfold from a sense of, an establishment, a city kind of developing over the years. So we're going to cover that, which is going to be a blast. And then also, we're going to have Jacob from Packernet Podcast on with us, and we're going to do a complete breakdown of the schedule. We're going to go through and give our picks. Just, you know, it's very early. We all know there's other free agent signings that could occur, right? There's trades that could occur, although they're a little bit rare this time of year, in my opinion. And then, you know, you could have injuries occur and things change. As the rosters sit right now, we're going to go through and look at the Packers' schedule, and we're going to break down wins and losses. So you come away today with a little bit better understanding of what we're up against as far as competition and really what are some of those key matchups that everybody's looking forward to, and just come away a little bit more educated on the schedule. I know a lot of people have covered it. I haven't heard many people give picks, though. I haven't heard many people look at it and kind of break down wins and losses. We had an awesome stream the other night on Ryan's YouTube channel. If you guys aren't subscribed to that, make sure you look him up on Twitter and get the handle for his YouTube channel, because we've been going live a lot on Friday and Saturday nights, and we attempted to break down the schedule. Although when you get, you know, five or six guys together that are friends and love to be goofy and cut up, it tends to get out of hand there a little bit. I mean, it turned into a circus by the end of the show, which I'm all for. It was a blast. It was an absolute blast. And I know we broadcast it during the Bucks game, so there was limited viewers in that sense. But it was funny seeing people pop in and out, and then on Twitter, you know, everybody responding to the Bucks loss that night. But nonetheless, make sure you check out that stream; it's still up. But we kind of broke down the schedule. We just didn't go really, really in depth with every game. Jacob and I are going to do that. So with that being said, let's jump right into it. All right, so this history segment, guys, again, we're going to cover the city of Green Bay, the founding of Green Bay, and how it's morphed over the years as far as backing the Green Bay Packers, okay? And really, it goes back to an old newspaper article that wrote of the first football team in Green Bay was actually in 1895. It said, quote, "The fans would follow the team passionately until the snow flies." So all the way back to the late 1800s. The Green Bay community had a football team, right? A town team, if you will. But the founding of Green Bay goes back much further. So I had to do some digging in the history books and found out that Samuel D. Champlain, the founder of New France, commissioned Jean Nicolet to form a peaceful alliance with the Native Americans in the western areas, okay, whose unrest had interfered with the French fur trade, and to search for a shorter trade route to China through Canada. So that's kind of how settlers moved into the areas. It said the late 1700s, the French settled in the area of Green Bay with the local Native Americans. It wasn't until the 1840s that the Germans, the Irish, the Dutch, they all came into the area, and then the Belgians arrived a short time later. And as you may already know, Curly Lambeau's family were French-speaking Belgians, okay? So they had that Belgium culture that they brung in with them. They were known as hard workers with, you know, bred from hardy stock, just kind of athletic people, that type of DNA, if you will. But the city of Green Bay is actually divided by the Fox River. And I mentioned this on a previous episode, just kind of laying out the land a little bit. But, you know, the Fox River was kind of used at that time as a highway. It was for cargo and transportation. And into the east side and the west side, you know, they were divided by this river, okay? And it's funny because there was kind of a rivalry from the start between east and west, whether it's athletics or business or what have you. But, you know, it said that if you married someone from the other side, it was almost considered a breach of etiquette, right? Because it was just almost like this, there was a little bit of animosity amongst western you know, people on the west side of Green Bay, people on the east side of Green Bay. And at the time, the entire area wasn't even known as Green Bay. But they said that the upper class actually lived on the east side while the working class lived on the west side. I'm sure if you're familiar with the town that you live in, if you've been there for some time, you know, I know where I'm at. That's definitely kind of how it's looked at. You've got the business district downtown, right? When I say downtown, it's not a very big town. But then out here where we live is back in the country. And this is, it's hilarious. You go into a McDonald's downtown, you're hearing pop music. You go into the McDonald's out here where we're at, you're hearing country music. It's just almost like a little different culture, right? So Green Bay was no different in that regard. But there were two high schools, East Green Bay High and West Green Bay High. And it was a very heated rivalry when it came to athletics. So much so that there was actually spotters placed outside of the practice fields, and any strangers that were trying to sneak in and watch practice were asked to leave. Now, that very rivalry was kept up to date and alive by the Green Bay Press Gazette. If you guys remember, I kind of touched on the Green Bay Press Gazette a little bit in an earlier episode. They have a lot to do with the history of the Green Bay community, right? They were actually founded in 1866 as a weekly newspaper, but then became a daily newspaper in 1871. You know, Green Bay team historian Cliff Crystal said it best that, quote, "There is no question that the heated rivalry of East High and West High is what created the town's love for football." So you're probably asking, why are you mentioning that? That's why. The reason that football took in this town, the foundation was laid because of these two high schools and the rivalry that was created. You know, the fact that they had a town team all the way back to 1895, right? And then you step into this high school high school rivalry, and the Green Bay Press Gazette kind of helped fuel that, right? And that's why the town developed such a love for football was those two high schools. Curly Lambeau actually played for East High School and gave East their first victory over West in 8 years. So he becomes somewhat of an icon here locally. The fact that the West High had beaten East High 8 straight years, and then Curly Lambeau steps in. He starts all 4 years, from a freshman to a senior. He steps in and gives East High their very first victory over West in 8 years. And of course, it was editor George Calhoun of the Green Bay Press Gazette who met with Curly Lambeau on a possible street corner or a bar. No one really knows. This was right after Curly had returned home from Notre Dame because of an illness. Okay, so he enrolled at Notre Dame, came down with what they talked about might have been tonsillitis or strep throat, or maybe both, and had to come back home because he was so sick. Well, when he returned back home, he meets with George Calhoun, and George Calhoun's the one who pitched it to him. Hey, you know, he pitched the idea to Curly about starting a team. And then 3 days later, in the Green Bay Press Gazette building, again, the Green Bay Press Gazette coming into play here for the history of the Packers in the town, that the foundation was laid there in their building for the team, you know, forming known as the Packers. Now, on Valentine's Day, let's fast forward because we don't want to talk too much about football in this episode. I want you to understand kind of the town, the community, right? On Valentine's Day, 1930, the Fox Theater actually opened its doors and showed on the big screen highlights from the Packers' fall victory over the New York Giants en route to their first NFL championship. So imagine, they win their first NFL championship in 1929. It was in February of 1930. They had put a motion picture together for people to watch at the Fox Theater of the highlights of that game, right? Over 5,000 people stood outside in the cold in line so they could get in and view those highlights. That's how much they love this team. They love football. Now, as the country moved into the Prohibition years, this is where it gets really colorful. As the country moved into the Prohibition years, Green Bay pretty much ignored it, right? If you guys have ever been to Green Bay, I'm telling you right now, one thing that you will not have a hard time finding is a watering hole. There's so many bars, there's so many restaurants that serve so many types of beer. It's just something that's not frowned upon there. You know, some places down here in the South, especially in the Bible Belt, you see somebody drinking a beer in a restaurant, especially on a Sunday, people will kind of look at you with a side eye, like, why are you drinking, right? Like, it's something evil. It amazes me how people work that up in their mind. Don't get me wrong. I know there are some people that cannot handle alcohol. I know there are some people that face addictions. I'm not downplaying that at all. I have many people in my family that have dealt with that. It's just something that's been kind of common. I come from a family of moonshiners, in case you guys didn't know. My great-grandfather, his family, ran moonshine over in Perry County, Kentucky, to the point where none of the men in my life before, I never met these people, but none of the men in my family lived beyond the age of 50 because of, just the brutalness of the moonshining business. You know, this couple years ago, I actually found the grave of my great grandfather. Was able to do a little bit of research and find it. He was shot and killed over moonshine, right, over whiskey. He actually did prison time for killing his uncle over their moonshining business. It's just something that, you know, again, I don't know how you look at alcohol and its consumption and things like that. It can be good and it can be bad. In my case, with my family history, it was very, very bad. Luckily, we're stomping that out right now. There's no more addiction in my family, which is really cool. But as the country moved into the Prohibition years in Green Bay, Green Bay pretty much ignored it. Like I said, there was a number of alcohol stills set up right in the community, okay? In a little bitty house, it said there was 15,000 gallons of mash, all right? They were producing and selling over 1,000 gallons of alcohol per day. Think about that, 1,000 gallons of alcohol per day coming out of this small house in Green Bay, yet no one seen anyone coming and going. The community kept it quiet, right? It said that now at the time that the only form of communication they had was word of mouth and telephone, okay? The way the telephone worked at that time, if you guys have seen, I know the old Andy Griffith shows, it shows it, right? The way the telephone worked at the time, there was actually a switchboard with telephone operators connecting the calls. So when the feds would actually call from Milwaukee to notify the local police that there was going to be a raid in Green Bay, by the time they got there, everything was gone. The entire still, everything was broken down. So what you have was this line of communication when the feds would get, connected in up there to the local police in Green Bay, say, hey, look, there's a raid that's going down at this address at this time. The operators, most likely, would help share that information, okay, with the locals, and they would team up, go in, break down the still, get the alcohol out, and when the feds showed up, nothing was there. Right. Johnny Blood, if you guys remember, we did a story on him. Johnny Blood actually told a story of how he fell in love with the city of Green Bay shortly after he got there because there was a story of a prohibition raid. He said as soon as he got there, they had raided a house in a prohibition raid. They arrested all the barkeepers, okay, but the federal prohibition agent was the only person who ended up serving time. So all the bartenders got off scot-free, while the federal agent actually had to serve time. So it just kind of shows you how the locals really embraced alcohol even during the prohibition years. And you know, the mob at the time, guys, was very, very powerful. If you guys don't know about the Italian mafia, the mob was very powerful all throughout the Midwest, but they could never get a foothold in Green Bay. And as a local historian said on a documentary, it's because Green Bay didn't need anyone to provide illegal liquor because it was already there. So the mob never really got that involved in the city of Green Bay. They just passed through and said, wow, these people got it licked already. They got their own stills. They're safe from the feds. Let's keep it moving, guys. Let's go on to the next town. It's pretty cool. It said that opposing fans loved coming to Green Bay because their speakeasies were everywhere and they were top notch. The most famous was a place called the Silver Slipper. If you get a chance, you can Google a little bit of history on the Silver Slipper. A lot of different activities going on in that establishment. We won't get too deep into that, but it's just funny the name, the Silver Slipper, and how things, I don't know, man, just people spent a lot more time and giving names to businesses back then. They took a lot more pride in certain aspects of creating something on their own. Whether it was illegal or not, or involved prostitution and all that crazy stuff, it's still a cool story. A small town where it was normal to run into the players, and they were treated like normal citizens, and the players were very relatable. That was another reason why. It's just like when players would sign with the Packers and come into play for Green Bay, right? It was normal for people to run into them on the street corner, and nobody treated them like they were these big celebrities or like, oh, they're spoiled, because at the time, let's be honest, they weren't, right? They weren't making much money at all. But they were also very, very relatable to the citizens themselves. You know, another cool story is George Calhoun, as you guys know, co-founder of the Packers, editor for the Green Bay Press Gazette. It was said that George Calhoun would actually entertain the visiting riders for the Packers' opponents. And it had kind of a barbershop type atmosphere. And when the Packers were on the road, Calhoun would invite the riders to his hotel, where he would have a bathtub full of ice and bottles of beer. And these reporters would just come by and kind of shoot the breeze, and he would teach them about the Packers, and they would help write articles on each other's teams. But, you know, yes, that happened on away trips, but they said when other teams came to town, George Calhoun did the same thing in Green Bay. He would just kind of host all of the away riders. And, of course, at the time, that was the form of communication. That was the way that people kept up with athletics and news and all that stuff. Just pretty cool, man. You could kind of get the feel, and that was the whole point of this history segment, is get the feel of the city of Green Bay and how it came to be that this team, you know, landed here and they stuck and they've survived all these years, right? It said when teams would visit, they would actually stay at the Northland Hotel, which still operates today. You guys heard me mention that in a previous episode. The Northland Hotel is still in business. They say it is absolutely amazing. Our goal is when we go up in December to watch the LA Rams play at Lambeau on Monday Night Football. One of the nights that we're going to stay there, we're definitely going to stay at the Northland, because I want to experience that. Just knowing that that's where players stayed back in the old days, you know, when the Packers played on the east side of Green Bay. But it says that fans became so loyal to the team and their success, so much so that on one occasion, this is a really colorful story. On one occasion, September 20th, 1936, in front of a crowd of 14,000 fans at City Stadium in Green Bay, they were playing the Bears, okay? There was an absolute Packer fanatic. His name was Emmett Platten, okay? Emmett Platten was just kind of like this super fan. He was, you know, all of us know 20 fans like this, right? People that drink too much, get too loud, and get way too aggressive at football games. Well, Emmett Platten, who attended every game, it said he hated the opposing teams, hated them. And that day against the Bears, there was a tackle for the Bears. His name was Ted Rosequist, okay, that was continuously lining up offsides, and the refs just kind of refused to call it. So all these fans are getting anxious, getting angry, right? Like, why are they not calling offsides on this guy? Emmett Platten had enough. They said he leaped over the rail, ran onto the field, punched the Chicago Bear player out cold. They had to have the guy taken off on a stretcher. He knocked him out. right? They had to take the player out of the game. It said that Emmett Platton wasn't arrested because, you know, at that time things were a little different. You could have a nice little fist fight on the corner of the street, settle your differences, and go on about your day, and no one would get arrested for the most part, right? It was just a different time, which is a story in itself. But it said that the next day he wrote a letter to the Green Bay Press Gazette defending himself, because obviously there were some Packer fans that were outraged. He wrote this letter into the Press Gazette defending himself, and it said, quote, "As a Packers stockholder looking out for the interest of this corporation, I tried to approach the ref to remind him of his faithful promise to give unbiased decisions." Now, the Press Gazette put that in their newspaper, but then followed it with saying, "Mr. Platton would have a hard time convincing anyone that Mr. Rosequist threw the first punch." So, like, again, just such a colorful era, and those type of stories and how passionate the fans were. Again, it goes all the way back to that rivalry between East Green Bay High and West Green Bay High, and the love of football being formed in the city of Green Bay. It's an awesome thing. It said countless times the people of Green Bay would turn out in force in the middle of the night at the Green Bay train station to welcome the Packers home from road trips. And that's something that still happens today. This is one of the earliest stories of this tradition. It was actually after the Packers won the championship down in Milwaukee, they returned back. And Curley was surprised because, I won't go too deep into the story, but essentially what it was Curley chose to play the championship game in Milwaukee as opposed to Green Bay because City Stadium was just such a dump. It didn't hold a lot of people. The facility wasn't up to date. And he knew he could get better ticket sales in Milwaukee. Well, it really ticked the local Green Bay fans off. But even though they were sore about that, they were still at the train station to greet Curley and his Packers when they came back from winning that championship that year. You know, just the fact that the small market team that the Green Bay Packers was able to navigate through the Great Depression and World War II and all those things. You know, another gathering place in the 1940s was a place called the Astor Hotel. They said it was the third, it was a sister hotel of the three big hotels locally. But they were very, very welcoming of all the rookie players because most of the rookie players, when they would sign their contract with the Packers, they would actually stay at the Astor Hotel. And there was a lady that's a legend, in Green Bay, Packers folklore, I guess you could say. Her name was Sue Wallen, and she worked the front desk for the Astor Hotel. They said she was like this surrogate mother to the players. She took care of the players. She made sure they had clean shirts, and she made sure the players were writing home to their mothers. And it said more than one time, she also had to let the mothers know if the players were out of line and kind of inform their parents on their behavior. So she another cool story that kind of goes along with the community there in Green Bay around the team. When the All-American Football Conference emerged, it really hit the NFL hard. It probably hit the Packers the hardest, if you guys know about that. It became a bidding war on players. The Packers lost a couple of their number one draft players to that conference one year, and it became a big, big deal that, look, these guys are taking talent from the National Football League. So a local prominent Green Bay figure named Jerry Atkinson was approached by Curley and board members. They asked Atkinson if he would spearhead a fundraising effort. As always, Curley did the talking. Okay, so he goes in, he asks this local business guy. This is right around, I believe it was 19, I don't want to screw up the date exactly, but they go in, they needed to raise $50,000, which at that time was a ton of money. They said that close to 100 Packer backers gathered at the Hotel Northland for breakfast. They devised a plan to host an inter-squad game on Thanksgiving Day, kind of an all-star game of the who of who's, right, when it comes to the Green Bay Packers. And they said that there were actually players from four different decades that showed up to be honored. So it was almost like this circus atmosphere. Guys, the temperature was 15 degrees. There was a snowy field, and over 15,000 fans showed up to support the team, to watch a little bit of football, see some of the old legends, and it was almost like this family reunion, if you will, to raise money and save the team. The money was raised, and the team was saved. And I think it's worth mentioning that was just one of many times that the community came together to keep this football team intact in the city of Green Bay. We would not be sitting here talking about it. You know, there was multiple stock sales in 1923, 1935, 1950, 1997, 2011, and of course this past year in 2021. Every time we get in a position where the board of directors says, hey, you know what? This is what we need for the team. All right, let's devise a stock sale. And the team fans come together and help foot that bill. And it cracks me up how people like Mike Florio and all these Packer haters say it's the biggest scam going. They say it's stock. It pays no dividends. If you think a fan is buying that stock expecting some kind of return, you're a moron, okay? What this stock sale is rather than, let's take Florio's favorite team as the Minnesota Vikings, right? You know what they do when they need a new stadium? You know what they do when they need funds? They go to the taxpayers and they don't ask them, hey, make a donation. You know what they do? They force them with a tax increase to pay for the stadium. But in Green Bay, what do? We say, look, if you're not interested in that, that's fine. Let's do a stock sale. If you guys would like to donate, throw some money into the pot. It's really, guys, it's the tradition of the passing of the hat. And they give you an awesome piece of memorabilia, which I have hanging right behind me here in the studio. And it's my, of all the autographed footballs, of all the autographed pitchers and hats and all this stuff that I've been blessed with a great, great setup here and memorabilia that I've collected over the years. The things that mean the most to me are those stock certificates. Because that was a time that the team came to the fans and said, hey, this is what we want to do. Will you help us do it? And every single time, fans rise to the occasion and they help pay for these, you know, these amenities, I guess you could say, for the team to make this thing go. It's easy to look at the Packers and think they've got all that money in that investment account. They're good to go. Guys, you can go through that money in a blink. If you guys haven't seen the stock market lately, there's no guarantee when it comes to investing. That's why it's important for the fans to be willing to support the team when the time comes. And I know there's a lot of people that are listening to this podcast right now that donated, because that's what it is. To me, it's not buying shares in the Packers. It's a donation that receives a really cool piece of memorabilia. And that's what Packer fans see it as. And on the outside with these morons, they try to make it seem like we've been tricked into buying a stock that pays no dividends and we're being scammed. It's hilarious to me. So the next time you hear a fan go, oh, you got scammed, that ain't a real stock, say you got scammed paying your taxes too, didn't you? Because you paid for that ugly dome up there in Minnesota. And as a tour guide once told me on a tour of Lambeau Field, they said, you know why they built a dome in Minnesota, right? I'm like, no, why? He's like, because not even God can stand to watch them play. That's fact. So, that's your history segment. I thought it would be really, really cool to just kind of look at the Green Bay community in one episode, give you an idea of some of the stories that you know, all the way from the French settling there in the early days. And then I love that there were so many different cultures that came in, and it really explains the atmosphere up there. Because when you go up there, guys, and you're sitting at a sports bar, you meet people from all different walks of life, all different races, all different walks of life. You can tell they're different financial backgrounds. Some people are a little bit better off than others. You can tell that it's people that just love the Packers, and they all come together in this melting pot. And when they're together, everybody's equal, because we're all passionate about, you know, following, rooting for, and supporting our favorite team in the Green Bay Packers. So, again, hope you enjoyed that history segment. Now we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to get right into the schedule breakdown.
We all have smartphones, and we all know they're pretty amazing, but they also can be amazingly distracting, especially when we're around other people. So U.S. Cellular wants us to reset our relationship with our phones by putting down our phones for five. That's right, a company that sells phones wants us to put down our phones. And to see what we find, learn more at uscellular.com/builtforus.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
513 RC declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right, joining us now from Packernet Podcast is our buddy Jacob. How you doing today, Jacob?
I'm doing good, Clayton. How you doing?
Doing good, man. I'm ready to dive into this schedule. We attempted to do it on the live stream the other night, but man, it real quick, didn't it?
Didn't quite work.
That's what happens when you get a bunch of dudes together, cutting up, having fun on a Friday night. But let's just jump right into it, man. Week one at Minnesota, 4:25 kickoff. It's going to be on Fox. The point spread as of right now, the Packers are 1.5 point favorites over the Minnesota Vikings on the road. How do you see that game?
Yeah, I'm nervous. It's, you know, opening day. Everybody's always jacked up. The Vikings, I said it last, Friday night we did it. They're always jacked up and they always play very, very well in certain pockets. And I think that the beginning of the year, you know, going against Green Bay, having Zadarius, having Shandon, having all these new draft picks that are probably going to play, like, you know, they're seeing Booth, Asamoah, Naylor may even play. I think they're going to come out extremely jacked up. The Packers might be a little timid and I don't want them. I don't want this to happen. I'm not saying it's gonna definitely happen, but I see them unfortunately taking a loss in the first game.
Yeah, this was the one game that I had trouble just using my chart. You know, I kind of chart games when I bet on games. And the thing that you can't take into consideration when trying to chart and look at analytics is there's something about those division rivals, especially on the road. And like you said, Minnesota, man, they always, I don't know. I've got this as a loss as well. And guys, hang with us. It's going to get better, I promise. You're probably already, I'm cutting this off. What are they going to have them go? Three wins.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like we might have some tackle trouble. Who knows if Jenkins, if Bakhtiari, if they're ready to go, even if they are, you know, we might have a little bit shuffling on that offensive line to figure out who our starting five are. So, yeah. And they've got those edge guys that are ready to, I mean, Zadarius, this is like his Super Bowl. I swear it is. This dude is so weirdly butthurt about leaving the Packers. I swear he wanted to go to Minnesota.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree. But week two, it's going to be September 18th. It's a Sunday night football, 8:20 kickoff on NBC. When you look at the point spread, the Packers are, you're going to love this, 8.5 point favorites.
Over. I saw that.
How do you see this?
Yeah, that just made me feel real great when I saw that spread. You know, it's the Bears. It's the Bears. And we were talking about how, you know, their best like off season signing is what, Equanimeous, as they say, apparently on Bears Twitter. I mean, come on, man. I don't know. Just they released Nick Foles. That was their best quarterback. Their first two draft picks were cornerback and safety. So, and then their best wide receiver that they drafted was a special teams return guy. That's like 5'10" or something. So good luck, Bears. I got that as a win.
Absolutely. Same here, man. I've got it as a win. I think it's going to be a boat race. On to week three, 4:25 kickoff on Fox. That's going to be at Tampa Bay. And the point spread as of right now has the Tampa Bay Buccaneers as 3.5 point favorites. How do you see that game?
I don't know what to think, but, you know, just the fact that we don't do well in the heat in the South and Florida. Tom Brady. Unfortunately, I think I have it as a loss in my opinion, but who knows? I mean, Tampa Bay is far removed from the team that they once were. And I got to make a quick note here. Luke Gedecky, they drafted in the second round, which was ahead of Raymond, which if you guys remember, we talked about on the podcast how I said that Gedecky could be a sneaky. I didn't think he'd go in the second by far, but right. He went in the second, like 15 or 20 picks before Raymond. So that was pretty cool. But that being said, unfortunately, I still see this as a loss. I'm being super, super generous with my losses in this. So you guys know, like, this is my, I have a worst case scenario situation, a best case scenario, and a most likely. This falls in my most likely, and we have a loss, unfortunately, to the Bucks. But
yeah, I agree. I think it's going to be a loss. However, I will say that when I look at my five parameters here, home field advantage, head coach, quarterback, edge, and line, it's really, really close. It really is. If this game was played at Lambeau, I would
be totally
picking the Packers, but I've got it as a loss as well. So on to week number four, October 2nd, 4:25 kickoff on CBS. This is the New England Patriots come to town to Lambeau. As of right now, the Packers are 5-point favorites. How do you see that one?
Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting game. I mean, the Patriots are not the Patriots of old, obviously, but when I was looking through there, I did not realize that they had the third overall, like, PFF overall grade. They had the second ranked offense and the third ranked defense. They're just a good coach team. Like you said, I hate Belichick. Can't stand the Patriots of the old, but them coming to Lambeau with a team that I just don't see, that they did not really help themselves in the draft. I don't know what they were doing. People may disagree with that, but they did side Tom Montgomery, so they might win. But I have them, unfortunately, if you're a Patriots fan, losing to us at home.
Awesome. Yeah, I've got that as a win for the Packers. Really, the only thing that slides in their favor is head coach and the offensive line. I kind of feel like they have an edge in offensive line if indeed Elgton Jenkins still isn't back. So that's a win for the Packers. On to week number five, October 9th. We got the New York Giants. This is over in England, right? It's going to be a 9:30 a.m. kickoff. And, if we look at the point spread there, let's see how ugly that is. The Packers are 32.5-point favorite. No, I'm just kidding there.
I was going to say what the
6.5-point favorites. How do you see that one?
Oh, man, I got mixed feelings about going overseas. In one aspect, like, I like the fact that we can – you know, I want to say, I think the Packers are one of the biggest fan bases over there. Definitely, I know in Germany, I think they are. But, you know, the fact that it's, like you said, 9:30 your time, 8:30 Lambeau time, God's time. So it is cool to wake up. I mean, I wake up super early usually, but to just be ready. I always wake up and I'm so nervous for like 5 hours before that noon game. I hate 3 o'clock games. I hate the night games because I just nerves build up that fast. So for it to be played at 8:30 my time, like I said, but I mean, that just seems awesome. It's weird that they did not give us a bye after that game. So, yeah. You know, I'm a little bit sour on that, but it'll be interesting. It'll be cool to see the UK people get a little dose of the Packers. I see us winning that game.
Absolutely. I completely agree. I think they're going to win that game. I know what you're saying with your concern about, going overseas like that. Anything can happen. I do think there's going to be a ton of Packer fans. I think it's going to be great for those, Packer fans overseas, where they could come out and actually see the team live. You can only imagine what the buzz is going to be like in that stadium. It is going to be awesome. Now, you did mention that you're kind of a little bit butthurt that we didn't have right after that game, but we actually do, because in week six, we have the New York Jets coming to town to Lambeau for a 1 o'clock kickoff on Fox. And as of right now, the Packers are 7.5-point favorites. So how do you see that one? Is there any way that the Jets can somehow pull out a win against Packers there?
No, but the only way that I say that, I mean, I should say that with a caveat, because I think the Jets had one of the best drafts, you know, and I think that all three of their first picks are going to probably be starters, maybe a few other ones. So I don't know. They could have some weird, like, rags to riches story thing, but I don't see it happening. I mean, I got that as an easy win.
Gotcha. Good. So, yeah, I same thing here, man. I think they boat race the Jets. Part of me, it kind of thinks, okay, is this the year that Saleh's team, you know, takes that next step? And obviously he'll be entitled to the 49ers.
Saleh's so overrated, dude.
It seems like that, man. It really does, because I find myself constantly going back to that. Well, that's the 49ers of the Northeast. No, they're not. He has not performed well at all as a head coach. So I've got that as a win for the Packers as well. And then in week seven, October 23rd, at the Washington Commanders, that's a 1 o'clock kickoff on Fox. Again, those kickoff times, guys, are my time here, Eastern Standard Time. So obviously just take away an hour there. You already know that. But the Packers on the road are 3-point favorites on the road. How do you see that one, Jacob?
Yeah, Washington's an interesting situation there. Just nothing about them seems real, from their name to their roster to, I don't know. It seems like they just cut and paste every year and they just throw it all together and see what happens, and they just crumble. I mean, I'd feel better if they had Ryan Fitzpatrick again. I'm pretty sure he started for them at one point, but as he started for every team in the world. But I think that's an easy win. I don't see any trouble with that.
Yeah, that's an organization that's kind of in shambles.
It's just in shambles.
Yeah, I'm trying to find, like, okay, what do they do better than the Packers? And the only thing that really, I mean, home field advantage, obviously. I don't know how much home field advantage you got when there's poop pouring out of the pipes.
Something.
Yeah. You ever get a chance to Google that? That's a funny video. But then also, you know, I was kind of thinking the edge, you know, because they've got who's the guy that they drafted last year? I can never think of his name. At Ohio State, it's a beast.
The guy that went real quiet.
Chase Young.
Yeah.
Chase Young. So I was kind of thinking of that. And then I was like, you know what? The overall, though, between Preston and Gary, we've got the edge. We're winning that game. So I've got that as a dub as well. Now, the next game, though, this one really worries me. This is week 8. This is October 30th, Sunday Night Football on NBC at the Buffalo Bills. The good thing is it won't be extremely cold there yet. So the weather should be, you know, okay, decent. But again, that's on Sunday Night Football there. And the point spread for the Buffalo game has the Buffalo Bills as 4-point favorites. How do you see that one?
Yeah, Buffalo, I mean, they're just a solid, solid team. Last year, they were third in points scored. They were first in points allowed. And when you look at what they've done in the offseason, they didn't hurt their team at all. If anything, they probably helped themselves with the draft, with certain things they did in the offseason. So I just, you know, Buffalo is probably, if I had to pick, I'm not one of those, like, I have a second favorite team guys, but I respect the Buffalo Bills just because they're a similar organization. Tailgate, I actually played high school football, started a game with a guy named Craig Urbeck, who ended up getting, I don't think he got drafted by the Bills. He got drafted by the Steelers and then played for the Bills for a number of years. So I got a little bit of a close tie to the Bills. So, I mean, it sucks to have to admit that I think we may lose to them in week 8. And that's in my, even in my best case scenario, kind of mock season, I have us losing to them as well. So it's just, that's my one where I'm like, I just don't see us rolling in there and coming out with a win, but I hope I'm wrong.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, again, when I make these picks, guys, I'm not trying to do it from a fandom standpoint. I'm not doing it trying to be cynical. I'm looking at it like this is how I always get an honest evaluation from me personally. And I love doing this to fans, too, because when they're so passionate, so confident, oh, we're a better team. Okay, so you have to bet the farm. You have to bet your home on this game one way or the other. There's no, I'm not betting anything. You have to bet it one way or another. Which way are you going? It's funny, right? Our opinion changes. But with that being said, I think that, you know, obviously Buffalo has a home field advantage. I think we've got the better head coach, the better quarterback, but not by much. Josh Allen's a freaking superstar.
He's a beast, yeah.
A lot of people, you know, there's been, it's surprising how many people have disagreed with me on that here lately. But I see us having the head coach and the quarterback edge, but everything else, I kind of feel like it tilts in Buffalo's favor. So I'm going with the loss there as well. And then coming up the next week, we go to Detroit. And, man, I don't know about you, Jacob, but when we hit these divisional games, it's like, wow, we play in a weak division. It feels like just gifts. But it's a Sunday, November the 6th at Detroit. It's a Fox kickoff at 1 o'clock. And the point spread as of right now at Detroit, we are 5-point favorites on the road. Anyway, Detroit pulls that off, or is that a dub for the Packers?
Man, I mean, I want to push back just a tiny bit and just say that, and it's probably because I used to roommate, live with a bunch of dudes that were from Detroit, and they were just constantly feeding me Detroit propaganda. So I think that they love this coach. And I think that they, I mean, you saw it last year, like they played every game and they sucked every game, but they still played every game. And I think they had a great offseason. They added some great draft picks: Aiden Hutchinson, Jameson Williams, Josh Pascal, Kirby Joseph. I mean, all those dudes probably slip into starting roles right away. And I don't know. I see them. the Packers are going to drop one to a team that you think like that'll never happen because they do it every year. You know what I mean? And so I could possibly see it happening. I don't think it's going to happen in week 9. I got them winning that, but I just, the Lions have played us hard for the last 5 years. Almost every game has been closer than it should be, minus a few, but I have us winning in week 9, but I am a little bit weary that the Lions may be on the up and coming. So
gotcha. You know, I understand. I have it as a win as well. And, you know, a 5-point favorite, ain't that's not a huge line in my opinion, you know? So there's probably a little bit of something there as well. So I have that being a win for the Packers though on the road. All right. So now we've got week 10. This is the Dallas Cowboys coming to Lambeau Field. That's November 13th, 4:30 kickoff on Fox. Jacob, they have the Dallas Cowboy game going, looking pretty good for the Packers. The Packers are 4.5-point favorites. You know, typically you get that 3-point favorite for the home team. The fact that it's at 4.5, that makes me feel a little bit better. But how do you see that Dallas Cowboy game with Mike McCarthy returning to Lambeau Field?
The return of Mike McCarthy. It's definitely going to sell some tickets, I'll tell you that. But I'm not afraid of the Cowboys, but I just feel like that for whatever reason, they're going to have that weird, it's going to be that Packer game that you watch. Remember, like every single time, I don't know if I'm alone, but it seems like they highlight like the one stat or the one thing that can never happen, or the Packers will do it. You know what I mean? Like they'll allow the one tiebreaker, they'll allow the stat to be broken. They'll allow Mike McCarthy to have his great return. They'll allow, it's just, it seems like they always allow that one thing, like the headline. And it's just, I don't know, for some reason I got a bad taste in my mouth about it. It's a 3:25 game. I feel like we're going to lose. I don't want us to lose, but I don't know. I grew up with a bunch of guys that were from Texas, Cousins always talking smack. And I just remember in the 90s, always getting beat up by the you know, Aikman and Irvin and Smith. And I just will never forget. I hate playing the Cowboys. And for whatever reason, I just don't feel great about that game. So I have them unfortunately losing at home to the Cowboys.
Gotcha. I completely understand that standpoint. However, I do have it as a win. If this was played in Dallas, then I would be right on.
I honestly would too. That's what's weird.
Yeah. Yeah, if it were played in Dallas, I'd be like, this is probably a loss. But you know, when you look at it across the box here, home field advantage. I think we've got the better head coach. I think we've got the obviously the better quarterback. I feel like their edge might have a little bit of an edge on us with Maka, depending on where he lines up and plays. And I feel like they might have a slightly better offensive line. But I do think the Packers pull it out. I think it's going to be a very, very close game. If I'm betting that game, as the point spread sits right there, I would probably take Dallas in the points, but I think the Packers are going to win the game overall. So, all right, up next, week 11, Thursday, November 17th, we got our first Amazon Prime appearance for the Packers. They're with Kurt Herbstreit and Al Michaels calling the game. I'm excited about hearing Kurt call that game, but it's 8:15 kickoff, like I said, Thursday night football. Point spread as of right now has the Packers as 4.5-point favorites, same as the Dallas Cowboys. How do you see it?
Yeah. If you watch the live stream, then you understand that I used to live in Nashville for a while. I've seen Titans fans, or quote unquote, the lack thereof. I've never been impressed by the Titans, but again, for some reason, we talked about it a little bit. The Packers always have that one or two games where you just don't see them. You don't see it coming, and then you get one of those random blindsided losses. Again, I feel like that this might be a loss, and it would be heartbreaking because that it means it's two home losses in a row to two teams that we feel like we should be able to beat. And it's, again, it's a primetime game. Like you said, Herbstreit, that's awesome. This is, again, my most likely scenario. So it's kind of the middle between we're knocking it out of the park and our worst case scenario. So I'm being very, very generous. I don't want this to happen again, but I just might get another loss there at the Titans, in my opinion.
Gotcha. I've got it as a win. Across the board, I feel like the Titans might have the better line, but I'm going to go with a win there over the Titans. So up next, we've got week 12, November 27th. This is at the Philadelphia Eagles. So we got back-to-back primetime games. This is going to be on NBC Sunday Night Football at the Philadelphia Eagles. The point spread says, as of right now, it's sitting at 0. So there is no point spread as it sits right now. How do you think they match up against the Eagles?
Yeah, I mean, the Eagles are like a sneaky team, which you can't really put your finger on. I think Ryan even highlighted that with that SIS stuff that like Jalen Hurts was one of the most accurate deep ball guys, I think, that he just doesn't do it that much or something like that. Maybe I'm wrong, but you know, they added some interesting guys on their defense, Jordan Davis, N'Kobe Dean, you know, that could bolster that a little bit. They didn't rank poorly last year for how, you know, they were middle of the road type, you know, 9-8 last year. So weren't that impressive. I see us taking a win there. But I think it could be a little bit more hard fought than we'd like it to be. And Philly, anytime you play at Philly, you got to be careful. One, because I think it's the only sports stadium that has a jail in their stadium, if I'm not mistaken. So I think they booed that old lady. Do you remember that? Remember that lady was like 104 years old and they were booing her like at halftime or something. They're just ruthless. So you always got to be watch your back there.
Absolutely. Yeah. I've got it as a win, but this is one of the closer games that I see here as far as matching up. You know, again, if it was at Lambeau, I'd feel a lot better. But being on the road in Philly, it's going to be close, but I've got the Packers winning that game. Up next, we go to the Chicago Bears.
When?
Yeah, December 4th.
Next. No.
Over this one, don't you think? That's a 1 o'clock kickoff on Fox. The point spread as it sits right now is the Packers are 4-point favorites. I'm calling win. You saying win? You want to just move?
Yeah. It's December 4th, noon game. Win.
Agree. So in week 14, we've got the bye week. We will all be depressed that week, I'm sure. I hate bye weeks.
I do too. But can we comment? That's the late. I don't know if maybe you're the history guy. That's, in my opinion, isn't that the latest bye week that we possibly have ever had? 14?
I'm not 100% sure, but I did hear Matt LaFleur, if I remember correctly, the other day in an interview. It might have been with Rich Eisen. I think they requested it. Actually,
they requested it.
Yeah, they were looking to have a late bye.
So I mean, it would make sense if you plan on having a playoff push, I guess. But I mean, because I can't imagine in a 16 or a 17 game, whatever it is, what it used to be, if week 14 bye would be extremely late, right?
Yeah, I would think so too, man. But again, I drummed that up in my head. I think Coach LaFleur said that.
I could see that. I mean,
looking forward to, but he's one of those guys too that always spins stuff positive, which I love it about. He won't allow excuses. It's just, I think he said it with COVID and all the restrictions. He said, embrace the suck. I love
it.
Like, embrace the suck, keep it moving. But week 15, this is a big one for me. This is Monday Night Football. The LA Rams come to town. It's going to be a simulcast on ESPN, ABC. Got my tickets ordered yesterday.
You did.
Yeah, Christy over at Packer Fan Tours, Event USA. She is awesome if you ever need to get a ticket package. But anyway, we're going up there for that. We got the indoor club seat, so I don't freeze my southern keister off. And they're at about 67 degrees drinking cold beer. It's going to be great. But how do you see that, man? It's the defending Super Bowl champions coming to Lambeau for a primetime game. What do you think?
I mean, that's going to be amazing. I didn't know you were going to actually buy tickets. I might have to drive up there then and do a little pregame celebrating with you there. But, you know, this is, unfortunately, I drive there and in my opinion, I'd see a loss. So I hope we had fun pregame. But again, this is just my mock of the most likely scenario. It's just, you know, they're the Super Bowl defending champs. They're coming in that we both know a lot about each other. In my opinion, the Packers are probably, we kind of have the Rams number, but the law of averages, I think, comes into effect because if I'm not mistaken, didn't we beat them the last two times we've placed them or faced them? So,
yeah,
I unfortunately, again, I'm going to say, I don't want to say it, but a loss there at the Rams.
Gotcha. Well, as it sits right now, there is no point spread. So those are the two games, Philly and then Philly on the road and then LA Rams at home are the only two games that don't have a point spread. I had this as a win, but I think it's going to be a very, very close game. I'm not as confident as some of the guys on the live stream were the other night, just saying that, you know, the Packers are a better team. When you look at it, though, we got home field advantage. I think they have the advantage as far as head coach. I think we've got the advantage for quarterback and edge, but I think they have the advantage with offensive line. So that being said, it does come out to the Packers winning that game, in my opinion, but I think it could go either way, dude. It's going to be a great game. I'm excited about watching it. So up next, we got week 16. This is Christmas Day on Fox, 1 p.m. kickoff at the Miami Dolphins. Point spread currently sits at the Packers being a one-point favorite. I'm going to go ahead and tell you right now, Jacob, this is the game that it just feels like to me it's a trap game. I think that Miami's going to win this game. The Packers are going to lose this game. Personally, you know, obviously Miami home field advantage, that warmer weather down there, even late in the season. I think we got the advantage with head coach, quarterback. I think they have the edge advantage and the offensive line advantage to the best of my knowledge. So how do you see it, man? Win or loss for the Packers down there in Miami?
Yeah, well, finally, you're being a little bit depressing. I just realized that, like, I was being super depressing. Well, why? It's because I'm giving you my worst case scenario loss record. I just realized that I'm losing to everybody, and I'm like, why? Anyway, so take that with a grain of salt, guys. But I have us most likely scenario being 13-4. So I'm giving you all my 10-7. But even 10-7, like, that's the worst of the worst of the worst. So just pump the brakes. Don't hate me already. But that Dolphin game, I actually have us winning. And I understand your hesitation, though, because that one to me also jumped off the page. And it's like, you know, the Dolphins are, it's late in the season. They might be pushing for more of a spot than we are at that time of the year, you know, and they've got Tua, who the deep ball thrower. But they do now have Tyreek, and they've done a lot of other things with that team. So they could be sneaky good. They could be kind of finding their groove at that point in the season. I have it as a win, even in my worst case scenario. So, like, you know,
nice.
We'll see.
That makes me feel a little better for sure. So week 17, we've got New Year's Day game against the Minnesota Vikings at Lambeau. Going to be 4:25 kickoff. Sun's already going to be setting. It is going to be chilly out there. So we have the, So we've got a 4:25 kickoff. The point spread, the Packers are 5.5-point favorites as it sits right now. How do you see it?
Yeah, that's just that. It's just so intriguing, the fact that we have two back-to-back holidays. Like, I personally, I love the fact that we could see, or that we will see, a game on Christmas Day and then New Year's Day, because that's just like you're hanging out, you're with your family. I mean, it's just the conditions are right for some memorable stuff. And then, yeah, like that January 1st, I mean, that could be, how cool would it be if it was colder than the ice bowl or something, you know what I mean? Like, that's perfect awesome timing, where it's like you could get a negative 30 type game kind of thing. And I got us winning that game. Again, it's the end of the year. I love, a lot of people I'm sure don't like how the NFL kind of shifted recently to doing, you know, you start your game, your season with two opponents, basically divisional opponents right away, and then you end your season with two divisional opponents. And a lot of time, at first I was like, I don't like that. It's just so, seems like you're flipping a coin, because anybody could come up. But then the fact that you end with those same, you know, divisional opponents, you have the ability to kind of really make for some end of the season, just, I mean, nail biting games where it's just fun to watch. And as much as I'll be stressed and probably pacing around like I'm about to have a heart attack, I mean, it's going to be great to watch. I got us winning that game.
Absolutely. I do too. I think it's going to be a dub. I think that the, again, having the home field advantage there, I had them dropping the, you know, dropping the L there to Minnesota in week one, only because it was on the,
yep.
I think they get the win here and split that, that series for the season. And then week 18, we've got the Detroit Lions. It says to be determined as far as time and network, but, Packers are hosting Detroit at Lambeau Field. I actually have that as a win as well. I'm sure you do. You see any way that Detroit could somehow pull that game off?
So again, because this is now, I've been reading you guys my worst case scenario. I have this as a loss, and I highlighted earlier that it's because I do think that the Lions are on the rebound. I think they're up and coming, and I think that this is obviously the last game of the season. We're pumping the brakes. We're maybe even resting dudes. We've already made the playoffs. We're clinching. The Lions are coming in, and they maybe are fighting tooth and nail for a wild card spot. And so that's where I think that maybe we basically kind of give them a pass to take the victory. You know what I mean? So that's my scenario with the worst case scenario. But in all honesty, I think we win that game. But again, I'm giving you apparently the most depressing side of this Packers next season ever. So
let's do it this way. As we wrap up here, we're going to be real quick. My overall record, I have the Packers going 13-4. The thing that stands out to me the most, mm-hmm. the point spread, is there was only two games that the Packers were technically underdogs. Obviously, you got the LA Rams and the Philadelphia Eagles we don't know about yet, but only two games under. So I feel like I'm being really, really reasonable, really realistic here, right, with the Packers going 13-4. I think it's going to be a great season if indeed Aaron Rodgers stays healthy. What is your most likely scenario as far as a record?
Yeah, so I don't want to – I'll say this first. My worst case, again, was 10-7, and then my best case scenario is 15-2, and agreeing with you, I will say the most likely is 13-4, 4-2 in the division.
15-2, man. If they go 15-2, I'm going to be doing cartwheels, dude.
Yeah, and again, I think I have them losing to the Titans and Bucks, I believe, in that scenario. Yeah, so.
Good stuff, man. Hey.
Just random. Dude, the random game that we shouldn't lose, I think we'll lose. That's just how the Packers are. I don't know.
Yeah, I completely agree, man. So, again, my losses were at Minnesota, at Tampa Bay, and I already flopped on the Tampa Bay one the other night. I first glance kind of felt like the Packers would beat Tampa. I've kind of went back on that now after digging a little deeper. So, my losses are at Minnesota, at Tampa Bay, at Buffalo, and at Miami. So, basically going undefeated at home. Is kind of how I'm seeing it. That would be great if that's the case. Again, if we come out with 12 wins, I'm going to be extremely happy. As long as we make the playoffs, that's always the ultimate goal. Just want to get into the tournament, see if we can get hot and go get a Super Bowl. But 13-4, I think is very realistic. Jacob, dude, appreciate your time, man. This is always a blast.
Yes, sir. See you soon.
Again, special thank you to Jacob for taking the time to break down the schedule with us, guys. Gals, thank you all for tuning in today and checking out the history segment. Hopefully you enjoyed that little history of the city of Green Bay and the surrounding area. And obviously, man, looking at the schedule, 13 wins, I would be ecstatic. But again, thank you guys for listening, and we will be back on Tuesday with another episode. And if you guys have any information, any questions between now and then, hit me up on Twitter. I believe on Tuesday we're actually going to answer a question or two from Twitter. So if you've got one, DM me on there. Don't tag me in a tweet. DM me. It's a little bit easier for me to keep them organized that way. And yeah, we'll hop on there Tuesday, chat some Packers football, hopefully have you another history segment and dive into something fun. But as always, let's go out and be the change we want to see in the world. And go Pack, go.